But I got the name of a guy who changed his windows out for cheap.
Well, right.
He just had one that fixed it for nine for us.
Yeah. This guy goes there for eight.
Oh, there's something laying on the floor.
Is it a pill?
No, oh, it's a tie-up for the mic cord.
That was good to get it back. Yeah. Still runs. Yeah.
Messy roadie.
Yeah. Why did they find it, Gary? Do you know?
They wouldn't tell us anything.
It was
probably abandoned.
Yeah, well, they hit a curb. They knocked the tire off the rim. I don't think they ruined the tire. They ruined the rim. They hit a curb real hard. And then they stranded. So they
dumped all the way.
Hey, tie-up's under all his chair.
My what?
The tie-up for the mic cord is under all his chair.
Receipt.
Under all his chair, on the floor, is a tie-up for this mic cord.
Thank you. I'll get it
days I'm not working. So brunch tomorrow. Yeah, stay for a few hours and then just head on down. How many hours do you think it's going to take to get down there for traffic?
Five
hours. Yeah. Not so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stay down there.
Are we on?
Yeah, we've been on.
I'm very, very dizzy, so I may not last very long here. Go to James 5. James 2.
On you?
Yeah. It will be. I looked yesterday and the there hasn't been any Bible studies put up since the 30th of November. We got to figure out a way to do this differently.
The one guy that gets paid to do it doesn't do it.
Is that Michael?
I wasn't going to say his name.
Find somebody else paying to do it, deduct it from what Michael gets paid, and explain to him why. He's just being a passive aggressive.
Can you teach
Keela
to do it?
Keela.
Yes, possibly, huh?
There's a learning curve.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that depend on this. We've been talking in the last few days how the largest debt that we have, the obligation or the systemic issue, is the curse. my, this isn't scriptural, but I happen to believe that prior to the fall, there was only the mind of Adam and Eve was not did not have the issue of self-awareness, and so there was no need for conscious and subconscious mind. They just simply their awareness was of God, their surroundings without a self-awareness. When the fall happened, then the mind was split. And so you have with your conscious mind, the things that you think you control, and then your subconscious. And so we can have the illusion then that we're doing something right and we're having control of things and we can control our lives and we can have the illusion of self-realization. But the issue is always, if you think about it, if you want control, then control the system that causes you the ability to see. Control the enzymes to digest the food you're eating. Control the muscles that allow you to be seated. Control the whole process that defines your hearing. You can't control. So control is a total illusion that is from the fall. And so we think then that we can do something, accomplish things, but in truth we're just totally lost. But we have this illusion that we're doing something. And so that's why the law is so important. That's why Paul said, I write unto you that know the law. Well, the problem with us, most of Americans, American Christianity or Western world Christianity, maybe all of the world now, they don't know the law. And so this is what's so important. The only way out of the law is grace, but it has to be all grace, all mercy, no leaning in your own arm of understanding. There's no, well, what am I going to do about this? Or what am I going to do about that? Or those issues are all the fruit of the fall. And we must return to that innocence, that place of only depending on God, and without Him we die. And if you don't understand this, then everything you do will have to be, you'll have to be a hypocrite at the core. And so this scripture that we're about to read cements this. In verse 5 of chapter 2 of James, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one single point, he is guilty of it all, of the whole law. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, and if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now if you knew the law, if you really studied what the demands of the law are, There is no possibility of you performing any of it. But we take half of a thing, and we take a little bit of a thing, and we think that, and we make believe we are doing something right. The purpose of the law, let's go back to Romans 3. Verse 9. First of all, he's contrasting the Christians and Jews, but then in verse 9 he says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." To be under sin means you're constantly concerned, under the control of, you don't have, as we've talked so often, you're hardwired to sin, because you're hardwired to seek for yourself, to be concerned with self. What am I going to do? Even, especially in a religious thing. Well, if I do this, then that will happen, and what about that? Remember our conversation a couple days ago? So listen carefully. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of bitterness, of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, the first thing you do, as you say, even it, without trying to, you say, well, that applies to somebody else. That's the deflection. I'm not guilty of all that. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so the greatest obligation that you have is to complete the law. That's the greatest debt. You can't do it. You're hardwired not to do it. Therefore, if you don't accept your death, and if you don't just give everything over to him, then it doesn't matter what you do, or what, how nice you are, or how sweet you are, how nice you are to people, you're lost. It's either all him or none of him. There isn't any separation. You don't worship God on Sunday and then you go back to your work on Tuesday or whenever you go. It's all him or it's none of him. And the greatest debt, a debt is an obligation. The greatest obligation that we have is the law. Now you can say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Doesn't matter. As long as you live and think like a Gentile, you are a Gentile. As long as you live and think as a human being, you are a human being. Capisce? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. You're not there yet, Ronnie? I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, you're there? Oh, you've been there.
Nice.
I'm just trying to be, you know, wait for other people.
Trying to give other people a chance. Verse 14. Now, listen carefully to the scripture. Debate it or whatever you want, but you have to face it. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, or it doesn't mean we judge down, we just discern, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died on the cross. It isn't optional, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. The human race died on the cross. And since you've been a vessel for deity, you're either a vessel for the God of this world or a vessel for Jesus Christ. There's no in between. And you can't be partially. And the only way you're a vessel for Jesus Christ is by 100% emptying of you. Otherwise, you want debt, you're going to be concerned about debt, then you have all the debt of the law. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what else you do. And you can use cliches and comic book theology till hell freezes over. Well, that's not me because I'm Jew, blah, 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 a thousand different issues. And you'll believe the theology of the modern Christianity of sloppy agape. It's just thrown out and give it to everybody. It's available to everybody, but only if you acknowledge your death. Therefore, then you mortify the deeds of the flesh. You mortify it by not giving it any breath, by reckoning it as already. You don't try to die, that's stupid. The moment you try to do it, then you've resurrected it. So it's, again, this thing about debt is so critical. But we live in this illusion. We take these incredible boundaries of time and space, and we continually make them smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until our God is really local. In fact, he's not even local anymore. He is personal. You understand? And it's everything by that means becomes you have invented your God in the same way everybody else does. You can give him all the acknowledgments and all, you can say all the right words. But if you are, it's got to be all grace, all faith. No what ifs. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I've been thrilled the last few years to be out of credit card debt, and I probably thought, well, there's still some more like career debt or little things here and there. But you're painting a big picture here. Like, I'm screwed to start with.
That's why our walk is continual repentance. Without consciousness of self. That's the fruit. What, Gary?
Is repentance triggered by something? That's how I was. Thank you. You repent as something presents itself. Without that,
here we go again.
Repentance happens when anytime you step in the picture for anything.
And how do you know you stepped in?
I can't help you. I really can't. I don't know how to explain that. I just know how I know.
Perhaps the spirit might tell you something. You know, something in your mind, conscience.
I've done it again. Please forgive me. Perhaps
that's what I would say. He's got the answer.
So
do you, Gary. You have the answer too.
We have a controversy here for some reason. I don't really know why.
A controversy.
Well,
people always laughing at me about
something. Well, it's the time equation.
That's what?
The time equation again.
It really is.
In the question is a justification that you can continue with your life until something happens to you to trigger you to repentance. Whereas it's got to be
a constant state.
Yeah.
I like that.
So.
You like the one that Gary likes?
No.
No, it turned out we didn't make it up.
No, I didn't say, you didn't hear me say anything when Gary was talking. I said that when Joe said it.
Gary, you have no allies.
I had one for a moment there. Lost him.
It's like, you remind me of someone that's lost his sense of smell and likes to play in his dung because he can form little things with it.
You're trying to degrade me now.
You're right. Because that's all you're doing is playing in shit. And saying, well, I don't smell it.
As soon as I smell it, I'll stop playing.
Yeah.
Well, Pete, maybe you can tell me how to do it.
No, again, let's stop. Stop.
What did you say?
No, just stop.
Here it comes up.
Stop. So Pete's just as guilty as you are, except he doesn't say it.
True.
The predicate.
Was anybody in here not guilty of that?
No, we all are.
Nobody's saying they're not.
Nobody's saying we're not, but your question, the wording of your question implies justification. That's the problem. And so here, the point is, again, let me make this perfectly clear. The only reason someone should listen to me for 1 second is if that everything else in the world, every human effort has been seen as empty and futile. If you have any human effort that you do not see as empty and futile, then you're a fool for being here. And again, I think the source of this is very deep. The source of this is something that has consumed you at some level, maybe not even consciously, and therefore you must think that there's some part of you that's good. And it's not, I'm not picking on you, there's a jillion other people that are listening that believe the same thing. It's something that I can do can improve it. Something that I can do will fix it. If I just was in the right place, or if I just had the right opportunity, or if I just had this, then I could fix it because I have this good part of me. And I've just been a victim so that I haven't been able to manifest that which I know I can do. So, you may not use those words, but if effectively, that's the bottom line. And so that then always prevents, and from my experience, when one is in that place, it means it's always a tell in this cosmic poker game. That there is a loathing of self that's beyond belief. Therefore, there's a position in which I'm not saying it's you, I don't know, but some part of you believes that you're irredeemable. And so you have to keep up the illusion. This is what happened a few months ago. It happened in the same way. Not about a different issue. And that's when you remember you sat there and you started crying and you couldn't speak. And I asked you to come and talk to me. And then I reminded of you at First Fruits. And you said, no, there's nothing there. Remember where at Ezekiel 8, and Spirit of the Lord took and he showed him a hole? And every time, before that, whenever you see a hole in the wall, you gotta fix it, you gotta dub it, you gotta put untempered mortar in there to fix it, to make it look like there's not a hole. I beg of you, dig in that hole. Talk to me. Come and see me or do something so that this isn't... There's something going on that's so seminal. Something that you cannot face. Does any of this make any... Is it touching anything?
Well, by knowledge, not by feeling. I know that there's no good thing in me. I know that, but I don't feel that all the time. I don't walk around feeling it.
No, you don't walk... there's no conscience of either one.
Right.
And so therefore you're walking as a Gentile. You may think about God every once in a while and give him a sop, but there's no emptying because you're afraid of what you'll find.
Well, for me there's emptying, but it's based on responding to something. When I see something, then there's emptying.
But my point is, you have confessed for 20 years. You have... Every time at the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the predicate for entering the feast. Vanity of vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vain. Now that means all is futile. All is empty. That means there is no... There's no hope without the resurrection. And you can say you know that. But my point to you is, the words of your mouth indicate to me that you there's something blocking it. There's something that you may not even be aware of that's blocking the full apprehension of it, so that you have to continue and have a new reminder. It's like Harry used to tell me when we first started. He said, "Well, not just Harry, a whole bunch of people. You know, I forgot." This is impossible to forget if it's been fully apprehended. It can never leave you. You can't wait for another stimulus because you've already confessed, at least with your mouth, that there is no stimulus. Because there is, you know, then you can always say, well, I'm waiting for God to do it. Well, God's not going to do anything until you repent. Except do the thing that the Holy Spirit is doing. He'll convict you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And the conviction will become, it'll be always, it'll be never ending. It'll be like wave after wave after wave after wave. You know, if your cat gets sick, your dog will die. If there'll always be something that just takes you out of the rest. There's no more waiting. Let the seventh angel stand within you. It said the mystery of God is complete. Let time be no more. And this is true for all of us. You just happen to be the one I pick on all the time. I think I know what it is, but I don't want to do it publicly. That's why I've been waiting for you to talk to me.
I haven't forgot.
But you every time, never mind.
Don't ever think that you're by yourself when you feel like that. That's what the body's here for. That's why we show up here every morning. Some people have to be here. Some people don't. You know what I mean? But that's, I'm just talking about because of the comment that you just made. It's not the same thing we're going through, but we're all going through it. And it's a constant state. Constant.
Yeah, it's true.
That's the whole meaning of a body, of a church, really, is if one suffers, all suffer.
Yeah.
If one rejoices, all rejoice. But in many ways, all of these things have caused you to be an observer as opposed to a participant. And I'm not picking on you because I dislike you. I love you. No, I love you. I'll do anything in the universe for you. Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. No negotiations. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's big, big words here. Remember in Luke when the two constrained him? They didn't recognize him. He was going to go on. They constrained him. What that means is they couldn't live without him. They couldn't take another breath. And he broke bread with them. Vanished out of their sight. Why? Because by that eating of the bread, the true bread of life, then all sensory perceptions of him have gone. Because we left time and space. It's never to be forgotten. Never again needing reminding. This isn't about how we live our life or what we do about this or that. This is about a totally different environment, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not new improved, but new, something that didn't exist as far as he knew before. All things have totally passed away and all things have become new. Not as a religious philosophy or a what if or a should, but a reality that's stronger than anything that can exist. It's stronger than. So there's no. It's like people, the Bible is written by the inspiration of every word is no. It's like the Bible has been this thing that kept us on the track to make sure we weren't going and running astray. But when he becomes made flesh in you, then you can look and you can see, and just about every word you say is inspired.
Amen.
Because you're not separate from anything anymore. what I want for all of you. It's this close.
Ali, is it fair to say that what you were saying was that true repentance is an action versus a reaction?
Oh, yeah. Let me put it more bluntly. A believer never reacts because he's the head and not the tail. It's a biggie. That's why I get so uptight about what I see about, you know, religious broadcasting or religious movies or something. They're always a reaction. There's no more reaction. You act. You be. Not because of anything about you, but because of everything about him. There's no more playing in the sandbox or playing with tinker toys spiritually. Or it's a whole new universe. Wherever you look, you see him as all and in all. The New Jerusalem is your only reality. There's no holy place or unholy place, because wherever your foot touches is holy ground.
I find I can only submit to this. I can't apprehend it or comprehend it.
Yeah, that's why we need. That's why we need to talk.
I mean, it's bigger and deeper than this brain can.
Yeah, the brain can't even comprehend it.
Yeah.
Hit me was when I thought I saw it, and then my immediate response to Gary was that I didn't, obviously I didn't understand myself too.
Be reacting instead of acting.
Yeah.
This is as big as it gets, not just for you, for all of us. Because otherwise this whole thing is just a philosophy that you pick and choose from among them. You can go to the spiritual supermarket. Well, I'll take a little of that and a little of this. And then I'll wait until I get hungry for that, and then I'll get some of that. That's just horse shit. Excuse my language. No, don't. I forget that. Think on these things. Anybody else have a response? Kevin? You usually have a response. You just don't say it.
Stare
down. He's going to show me. He's going to stare at me.
You can do it, Kevin. Do it.
Josanna? Anybody not understand any part of this?
Pretty clear. Pretty clear.
Oh, Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy.
Let's see. Add to your list some
Praising
by.
Yeah.
Sorry.